I had traveled and traveled. John and Cheryl know what that's like. And I was tired. And all of a sudden, I got called to go with Chuck and Linda Heidler to London, England. And it was just for like 3 days. I mean, we were going over and we were coming back, which anybody who knows what that's like, it's difficult. And I said, Lord, what is this all about? So we traveled over to London, and Linda and I were sharing a room. And we got up in the morning, and we were sitting in each of our beds. And I was just asking the Lord, why did you bring me here? What is this all about? And he said to me this. He said, Marty, I want you to look at Psalm 133. And I said, in my impetuousness and my way of saying, Lord, I know what Psalm 133 is all about. He said, no, you don't. He said, no, you don't. I want to share this with you tonight because I do believe it is a word for you. It says, it's a song of degrees, and David is praying, and he says, behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. And we read that, and we say, whoa, it is true. We want to be in unity. We want to dwell together. However, the Lord said to me, you do not know what the word dwell actually means. I want to share that with you from Strong's. It means to properly sit down. Listen to this. Specifically as judge, in ambush, in quiet.
That's good.
Now, if that's not a warfare term, yes. I don't know what is.
Yeah.
And what I feel for the 13 Colony Council and this group of people is that we need to understand who we are dwelling with, who we are. Is your discernment so sharpened that you know the difference between dwelling with someone who you can go to war with and someone who you can have lunch with? It's a very, very different thing. You can go to lunch with most anybody, any Christian brother or sister, but to go to war with somebody, you have to know where they stand, who they're aligned with, and what they stand for, okay? And then the Lord began to remind me of James. And I've been in this for years because I've seen so much of this. And in James says, James 1, verse 5 says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God and give to us to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. He is like a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. And so what I want to say to you, and what I feel is overreaching for the United States of America right now, and for the 13 Colony Council, is that really go before the Lord and become single-minded for the Lord, first of all, single-minded for where you're aligned, single-minded to see that what you speak and what you prophesy hits the mark, okay? And I believe that many, many are torn one way or the other, and I don't mean just in our relationships with ministries, but I feel like the Lord said we can become fragmented with all that's going on in the atmosphere right now if we don't really understand Romans 12. Be not conformed to this world, but transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you can test and approve.
Yeah.
And so I speak that to each of you that's on the council tonight. I speak that to each ministry that's represented here, that you will become understand who you can dwell with, to go to war with, not to lunch with, okay? We can lunch with anybody. We cannot war That's with true. Everybody, all right? We have to understand, we have to test and approve who we can go to war with, and then begin to say, Lord, separate in my mind anything that causes me to be pulled one way or the other. What I see in the United States right now is a fear that is overarching. And I believe it comes from the highest levels, because if you think about our leadership right now and the lawlessness of the leadership, and you begin to really meditate on that, you see that it is all really so lawless and so held in the hand of the enemy that how could they not be in fear? Not long ago, maybe 6 months ago, the Lord gave me a vision of our leader and how every night he goes into his chamber, into his bedroom to rest. But Satan is there and Satan meets him. And we know that he's mainly a puppet, but what is happening with each of these people is just so the enemy that we have to be able to say, ah, the Lord has not left his throne. The Lord knows what his plans are. And the prophecies over this nation, I'm thinking of when Chuck prophesied at the Citadel meeting, and then when he didn't even know, but Tim Sheets confirmed it in his meeting, that we have angels all around the United States, okay? And listen, their swords are unsheathed when Chuck saw them. But the Lord said to me today, after Cheryl contacted me about this, he said, Marty, the time when it is time for their swords to be unsheathed, don't you know that I will cause that army of angels to unsheathe their swords and go for it? And so we continue to believe that the 13 Colony Council can make such a difference, can plow forward in such a way to become understanding of who they dwell with, to understand no double-mindedness here, none. You know what the Lord is saying. And if you need to cut off some relationships, you need to do that. I'm old enough to say that to you. But I so believe that the Lord is orchestrating something that is so amazing that we're just gonna move in such a way that we know he's victorious, and we will become victorious as well. And so I bless you, each of you. I love you. Many of you I know, many of you are new faces, but I love you. I bless you. And just, I'm going to give it over to my husband, who caused my hair to go gray. Some of you.
She caused my.
I took her for a procedure today, and all I said to the dermatologist who removed something from the side of her head was, I said, please don't remove too much brain matter. We're on the edge right now, so please take very little. So I think he honored that, and she's still having a little bit of a dab here and there of bleeding, but other than that, it seems okay. To me that he really heard what I said. There's very little that I could add to what Marty has just said. One is, I would say right on the front end, is I would like to get to know each one of you.
Yes.
The Glory of Zion, I have been honored to be commissioned as a prophet for many years at Glory of Zion, and I love the Lord greatly. Secondly, I love this person here beside me. But one thing is, we were starting to talk this afternoon when Cheryl had asked us to speak just a moment. I believe Marty has covered most of it, or really all of it. But what I would say is, the Lord really spoke to me that when the original 13 colonies, when they started, they were all individual colonies. Mm-hmm. They all had their own economics. They had their own, almost some of them even had their own religions, or where they sought the Lord or whatever. They did it all separately. Mm-hmm. And he said, but as they went through the process, they started the beginnings of a nation.
Mm-hmm.
And that is unity. Dwelling. And that's really where I believe you all are. You represent each one of those 13 colonies. Perhaps when you started this with Cheryl and John, you were all, you all had your own thoughts, you had your own ways, you had your own ministries, or at least had your own way of thinking and the way you sought the Lord. But over the years, you have become more and more forged together. Yeah. And I believe that as you go forward now, and you, you even what we've said, but you're already thinking these things, you already know in your spirit these things, it, it's just going to become a mighty force in the United States. And we just, we're going to stand with you. We plan to be at the meeting in May. We're already starting to arrange our schedules to make that happen. And I look forward to getting to know each one of you, perhaps giving you a word, or you give me one, which I seek words more than I think anyone. And I just, we just say, go forward in the name of Jesus, and we love you guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Go ahead. Thank you.
Thank you, guys. Yes, we have traveled around the world, Marty, I think over 100 times. Yeah. That's just been incredible. And I've enjoyed every moment of it because you made me look good. Okay. But I had an experience. I had an experience in South Carolina, and I believe there's an impartation with it. I was down there with Judge Judy, and I was with Kent. And Kent is the stepfather of the chaplain of the Citadel. And we, I love Waffle House. We went to Waffle House. And I was sitting there. We had ordered. And my order really didn't come like I wanted. But I thought, you know what? I'm just going to, I didn't complain. I didn't say anything. And really, that was very important for what happened. And the waitress, we were sitting at the counter right next to the cash register. So she was walking back and forth. She was probably, I'm guessing, around 70. She had tattoos up and down her arms. She looked a little rough. And her name was Diana. And because I always ask the waitresses what their name were. And she was taking plates back and forth to the other tables that were all around us. And she was taking drinks back and forth. And she must have walked by us at least a half dozen times or more. And as she was coming back, she stopped in front of me as I was talking to Kent. And she looked at me and said, sir, can I ask you a question? I said, sure. She said, are you an angel? Now, hey, Joe, I've been called a lot of things, but I've never been called an angel. Not too often.
Well, you answer that
question. Yeah, okay. And I thought she was kidding me. I thought she was busting my chops. And I said, well, it depends on who you talk to. Some say I might have come from up there, and some say I might have came from down there, okay? And so, but I looked in her eyes, and I could see a desperation. And so then the Spirit of God hit me. And I said, well, no, I'm a pastor. What's going on with you, ma'am? And she said, well, I've been walking by you, and the hairs on my arm, every time I go by you, stick out. And this tingly feeling hits me. And I thought maybe you were an angel. And I said, well, no, I'm a pastor, but what's going on with you? And she said, well, I tried to commit suicide 3 months ago. And my niece is in hospice care with breast cancer. And she has two autistic children that I'm probably going to have to deal with. And I'm at my wit's end. And I just reached across the counter, took her hand, and started to pray for her. It wasn't a long prayer. It was pretty specific for her niece's breast cancer, the autism in the children. And as I was praying, I had my eyes open. I saw people stop eating and bow their heads in Waffle House.
Oh, man.
And now some didn't close their eyes, but half the Waffle House, which was loaded, did. And see, I believe there's a new type of evangelism coming where we aren't even aware of it because the presence of God is so strong on us when we're really unaware. People are going to walk by and say, what is it? What do you have? What is going on? You know there was something significantly there of the Spirit for them to ask me if I was an angel, okay? Okay. And so I just want to loose that ability for the Spirit of God to be so immersed in you and so around you that when you come in contact with people like Diana, who tried to kill herself 3 months ago, who's dealing with hospice care for her niece, autism for her children. Lord, in Jesus' name, I pray that souls would start to be won for your kingdom just because your presence is so strong on everyone on this broadcast. Lord, I thank you that we are your children. I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you hover over us just like you did in Genesis. And Lord, I thank you that you're creating new opportunities for us to reach across the counter and pray, and for others to say, wait a minute, I got to stop eating right now and bow my head. Lord, I thank you for the witness. I thank you for the evangelism that's breaking out in our country. I thank you that as the tares are growing, the wheat is growing too, Lord. And I just loose a fresh anointing on all these people that I will call wheat stalks in the 13 colonies in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Now, Deborah, do you have something from England for us tonight for the 13 colonies?
Well, I was just praying into that, and I really felt like this part that I'm in is Cornwall, which is the south end, and I looked at it, and there's 2 million Cornish people in the United States, and there's only like 500,000 here in Cornwall. So I felt like that was significant, that there was 4 times as many in the United States as here. And I feel like so much, because we're on a Celtic tour, so much of America was settled by this group, you know, in Northern Ireland, Scotland, Wales, and this part of England. So I just wanted to basically just pray that from here, that God would empower the 13 colonies and all those that are from here to rise up right now, Lord. I just decree that they will rise up in what you call them to be and in who they are at their very core. And that would rise up such a move among the 13 colonies and beyond, in all those different places. Pennsylvania is a big, large group of Cornish people. I think that's interesting that Chuck's going to be there. So, Lord, we just decree that they will rise up in their identities and they will be released throughout for the movement of revival that happened here in the 1800s would be renewed, and we'll see it move all across the nation from the 13 colonies westward. And, Lord, I just keep seeing this root all throughout the 13 colonies is being uncovered, and you're going to use them in a mighty way.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Deborah. And Judy, Judy Jackson, I want you to share about our time at the Huguenot Church and what we loosed, and, you know, just share, and then pray into that again, too.
When I called to try and get a time that we could go to the Huguenot Church, they said there were no visits until April. But then the lady said, okay, y'all come and I'll open the door. Well, is there any way we can meet with the pastor? She said, oh no, he won't be here. So when we got there, just the feeling of being in that church was awesome. The pastor shows up. John prays with him. But what was released was that prophetic anointing that was on the Huguenots. You know, there's stories of 5-month-old babies standing up in their cribs prophesying. So we just released that covenant blessing of what the Huguenots had over Charleston and over the 13 colonies. So when you begin to begin to prophesy in the Waffle House or wherever you are, places you've never prophesied before, as you begin to prophesy, you're going to know that covenant root of prophecy that the Huguenots brought to this country has been released. Now, Father, I thank you and I decree and declare that we are stepping into
yes, Lord.
Our covenant heritage of what the Huguenots brought, their persistency, their tenacity, their deep prophetic words and propheticness over all of the 13 colonies. Everybody here, when you look back 6 months from today, you're going to say, wow, look what the Lord has done and how I have operated in a deeper, wider vein of prophetic words.
Amen. Amen. Now, one of the things I want to talk about, and then I'm going to ask Julie Turk because she was on the journey with us, but also when we were in the Huguenot church, they related a story to us, which I thought was very interesting. Yes. During the war, the enemy soldiers came into the church and stole the organ. And they were carting it down the street to put it on the enemy ship. A huge organ. You should see this thing. Well, the women of the church found out about it, the praying women, and they went out on that street and they surrounded those soldiers and that organ, and they began to pray and worship and would not stop. They went on so long that the soldiers threw down the ropes and everything they were using to carry that organ and ran and got back on the ship and left the organ right there. And the whole time we were just in South Carolina, you know, praying through some of the words that came forth on the Citadel and visiting these different sites, the word persistent kept coming up and persevering. So it was interesting also that in the newspapers, because of the culture of the time, it didn't give the glory to the women. It said it was the prominent men of the city, but that was not true. The church said it was the praying women of the church that did this. They just had to put that in the paper. And so I want to release a persistent and persevering worship and intercession that the enemy will not steal our sound in the name of Jesus, that no matter what is coming against us, that sound, that vibration of worship will still come out of us in the 13 colonies, that we will win the victory and see it finished in Jesus' mighty name. So Julie, why don't you share one or two of your insights and release it over us.
Amen. I just agree with everything with the prophetic, the purity of the prophetic coming forth, the sound being released. And that word persistent was really key. Yeah. I saw the sound going out over the water, and I heard the word reverberate. And I just want to read what that definition is, because I think I know what definitions are. Then I look them up and I realize I don't always know what I think I know. So reverberate is the persistence of sound after the sound is produced. And just like Cheryl was saying, you know, that word came up quite a bit. And with those ladies that were persistent in their prayer and were persistent in their sound, and they were in the streets. And so I just want to declare that the sound of heaven and the sound of revival is returning to the streets.
Yes.
And that our sound, the sound of the Lord, the sound of heaven, the sound that he will pull up and out of us to be loosed into our territories to make a shift and a change in our atmosphere and in our land. And this whole sound and light has just been in me since then. I just came from Nashville, and when I was there in this building, there was a picture of sound. I don't have it up handy, but it's, if you see it actually at Glory, there's necklaces where Chuck had, where yes. It's the sounds thing. And, you know, there's sound that the Lord wants to release out of territories. And so I am just declaring again over the 13 colonies that sound, that sound right there in the name of Jesus is coming up out of our territories to bring the change and the shift that our nation needs in Jesus' name.
Amen.
I would also like to add that one of the three characteristics of South Carolina is intercession. It's leadership, intercession, and prosperity. So I release over all tonight that persistent and tenacious intercession as these women were in the streets praying and worshiping. The intercession is going to take on an intentionality and an intensity that we have not walked in before.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
And one of the other things that we'll add to this is when we got to South Carolina this time, a couple, two weeks ago or whenever it was now, everything's a blur. You would not believe the traffic to the port. Now, this port was hardly moving at all, even back when we were at the Citadel in August. And we've been praying, everybody's been praying, you know, for that, those specific ports down there to open up. Well, they dredged the port. Since we were down there, they've dredged the port and completed it. And you could barely get from one place to another in your car where we had to go for the tractor trailers going into the port.
Miles
of them coming now into the Charleston port.
And heading out.
And the ships are huge. They're bigger than the ones I've seen in Philadelphia. And so God they've dredged the deep. This was so prophetic that the waters have been dredged even deeper. And because of that, a new level of prosperity has come in to that territory. Now, we prosper as our soul prospers. That's what the scripture says. And deep calls unto deep, you know, at the sound of your waterspouts. And so, Lord, we just release right now a new dredging of the deep throughout the original 13 colonies. Lord, begin with us. Let that sound that Julie talked about and Joe showed us, let the vibrations of those sounds break up the deep places.
Amen.
In us.
Thank you, Lord.
In our territories, Lord God, that it can be dredged out, Lord, and new prosperity come into our lives of your spirit, of finances, of everything that you have for us, Lord, that the harvest would be complete in our territory in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Now, someone else, you have 2 minutes. So if you get something, pray, make a declaration, and you have 2 minutes to do it. So go ahead, click in if you want.
I just hear the Lord saying, this has been a time in Florida of the establishing of a new backbone.
Yes.
And I hear the Lord saying a new backbone for the 13 colonies.
Yes.
That each individual, as well as they move out, I'm giving them a new backbone in the great name of Jesus.
Yeah. Amen. And I loose a new depth of persistency in prayer in the 13 colonies right now. And I especially loose it in the women. Just like those women surrounded that organ and started singing hymns, and the soldiers just dropped their ropes and said, we can't do this, and went back to the ship. Lord, I thank you for the persistence now to not look at things around us, all the distractions, Lord, but only to stay focused on what the mission is, and that we would watch the things that you want us to watch, and discard the things, even like Marty said about making changes, that we would change the way we perceive things and trust in you, Holy Spirit, like we never have before, to open our understanding as to what you are doing in the earth realm in Jesus' name. Someone else.
And I just right now release the ability for each of us to become transformed by the renewing of our mind. Many of us are We've been with the Lord for years and years and years. And the Lord says, Holy Spirit says, I even have more transformation for you. I even have more renewal. I have a resurrection power that the blood of Jesus released. And I release that on us, that our minds would be so quickened, so transformed, that we would hear, that we would see, that we would know exactly what the Lord is saying, exactly what heaven's ordained for our paths, in Jesus' name.
So there's a group in our church, and it's men that are coming off of drug addiction and stuff, and they stand outside at the grocery stores and stuff like that, and they ask, tell people, help us fight addiction, and people give, donate money to them, and they pray for them and all of that. And what the Lord said to me last week when I drove away from them, because I saw one of the guys at the store, the Lord said, it's a new weapon of warfare, because everyone that sows into that ministry is saying, we don't want drugs and we don't want addiction anymore. So the Lord just said to me, it's time that we get our new weapons out. It's time that we see and identify the weapons that he's giving us. What we thought at one time was, you know, like, this is goofy, this is not right, this isn't of God. All of a sudden, God says, I'm going to use it as a weapon. Yeah. So right now, we just say all those seeds and that are being sown, we just say they will prosper, they will grow, and we will see addiction come down, and we will see our weapons released. The things that are hidden in the dark places, we will see the weapons of our warfare are released to a greater degree, in Jesus' name.
Someone else. Well, when we were in... Go ahead, Roxy.
Okay. Hi, how are you guys?
Good.
As we're sharing this week, the Lord gave me the scripture, and I ended up looking in a few translations, and it fits in beautifully with what's happening here. It's Psalm 68 out of the Passion, verse 11 and 12. God Almighty declares the word of the gospel with power, and the warring women of Zion deliver its message. The conquering legions have themselves been conquered. Look at them flee. Now Zion's women are left to gather the spoils.
Amen. 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 And Deborah, aren't you there at the place where women are being prayed for? Share about that and come into agreement with that.
Yes, some of the places we're going to are where the earliest apostolic women, besides those in the Bible, in the 500s and 600s, they were commissioned to go out, and they were sent out from these places. We were at a well. She was talking about addiction. We were at a well where they would have been the first place they were sent out of here in Cornwall, and because they went from Ireland over to Iona and then to Lynn's Farm, and anyway, there's a progression. But while we were there praying and releasing, that we were standing at the well, we all put our feet in it. As we were standing there decreeing, it was a double well, double portion of water coming out. A young man was being arrested, literally, for drunk and disorderly. And we were decreeing over, it was happening all at the same time. And we were seeing, there was five women on the team, there's two men, but five women. And we were decreeing, we just really saw God is taking what was negative and turning it, and turning what he used, what Lorraine said, is what looked like an enemy, because he was going into the church when they stopped him. He was literally going into the church, and I just really feel like we're seeing. And then today we went to another place where it was an apostolic woman that was released from there and was one of the first ones, and it was in I'm trying to think of the name of it. It's we're near Penzance. But several of the places we're stopping. So instead of explaining it, that takes too long, I'm just going to decree that those that the Lord is raising up in this generation of apostolic women are going to be moving in this new, what Marty said, we're going to be moving with the word and with truth. It's not going to be like it was as popularity, as notoriety, as whatever. It's going to be moving like they did, with humbleness, with the truth, and with a fire that burned inside of them, that they would stand and pray for hours or whatever it took, or leave another island to come to do what God had called them to do. And Lord, I just decree that women that thought they were done are going to be moving and being sent to places they did not think they would go, to further what God is doing in the nation, in the 13 colonies, and beyond, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
So we've heard the new word here a couple of times from Marty and Deborah, and I have just read in Lamentations 3:22, and it's a song, we all know it. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is his faithfulness. So when you wake up in the morning, and I've been doing this, what do you have new for me, Lord? Begin to look, the minute your eyes open, begin to look for something new for the Spirit to pop either into your area, surroundings, and when you go to work, whatever it is, something new to happen, because he's not a boring God. He's got all kinds of experiences and messages and newness for you. So I loose the new into everyone on this Zoom tonight, we will not get stuck in a religious rut. We will not go around the mountain and around the mountain. We will get to the other side. And I thank you for new inventions, new wits, new wisdom, new revelation. Lord, I thank you for new revelation, most of all, that we wouldn't just go by information, but we would have a mix of information with revelation, new every morning, in Jesus' name.
Someone else.
I felt I kept getting, you know, when you're talking about the port, it speaks of a rerouting. You know, you're all that trade that was rerouted from the West Coast ports to the East Coast ports and everything else. So, Lord, in Jesus' mighty name, I just speak a rerouting to each of us individually, to us corporately, in Jesus' mighty name. I speak rerouting to your people in your churches, Lord God, where they've veered off course, or maybe in the wrong place in this season, that you get them back, reroute them back on course in Jesus' mighty name. Move them around like your strategic chess pieces, Lord, wherever you would have them be in this season. I just thank you. You're just rerouting churches. You're rerouting people from the pit of hell, Lord, that were on the verge of heading into the pit, that were on the verge of loss and losing and even their very souls, but in their lives, Lord God. I say reroute them in Jesus' name in this nation. Reroute the colonies. Reroute our brains. Reroute everything in us, Lord. We give you permission in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Someone else.
Cheryl and John, I just love to speak into this and just confirm so much. Up here, we are hearing the word upgrade. We're hearing it over and over and over, upgrade. And the Lord is saying that this is not a time to compromise, no more compromise. And he took us to, somebody else mentioned James 1-5. He took us to that double-mindedness and that doubt issue. And he said, keep it simple. If I say it, you believe it. And we feel like the Lord is saying to us, all the distraction, all the fracturedness, all the pressures, the pulling different ways and with different things, he's saying, keep it single-minded, just like we heard tonight. Keep it simple. If he says it, we believe it, act on it, and don't complicate it. So that's what we're hearing, is that upgrade of purpose and that simplicity of purpose, and to keep focused on that.
Amen. You know, it reminds me, when we went to Fort Sumter this time also, I think it was Major Andrews, I don't remember his name, but the man that was in charge of Fort Sumter, which was the federal fort, they were being so bombarded that there was no way that they could sustain another day at that fort. So the Confederate soldiers came out to have them surrender. Well, this man And I believe this is what God is releasing over us too. And it goes along with what you just said. This man had such a spirit of wisdom and a spirit of negotiation that he was able to convince the Confederate leaders that they did not have to surrender, but they would be given permission to simply evacuate. And not only could they just evacuate without a surrender, but they allowed him to take the flag down, the federal flag, American flag down with, I don't know, was it a 50-gun salute or how many cannons salute? And they allowed this. And he got on the boat and the Confederate soldiers took him and his remaining troops there out of Fort Sumter to the awaiting federal ships with that flag. Now, this man had a level of faith, a level of wisdom, and a level of negotiation that got what he knew God was saying that he was to do. And do you know, 4 years later, to the very day, that man came back to that Fort Sumter in victory and raised that same flag. So now I loose out of South Carolina today. I loose that gift of wisdom. I loose that gift of faith. I loose the gift of negotiation, not compromise, negotiation. And I loose victory in the name of Jesus over the original 13 colony councils. Lord, we loose that today and we say, yes, we will hear what you're saying and we will believe and negotiate until we get that desired result in Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Someone else.
Cheryl, when Deborah was speaking, she mentioned five women and two men. It made me think of five loaves and two fishes.
Oh.
And I just want to declare multiplication for Deborah and what they're doing there in England. Accomplished much more than they thought they could. And I declare multiplication each over each of the 13 colonies now that we'd be more effective, more effective. That's all I can say. More and more and more effective through multiplication in Jesus' name.
Amen.
And Lord, I also decree that we won't despise the small beginnings, that even though it's five and two, Lord, we will receive, we will see the multiplication in that smallness and call it forth by giving it out in Jesus' mighty name. Someone else.
Another small thing, the five and the two to me speaks of the fivefold and the witnesses. So Lord, we decree and declare we will witness the fullness of functioning of the fivefold in this nation, in this season. Right now, we decree and declare that over this United States in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
While we were at Fort Sumter, we were sitting at the base of the flag. And there were over, the ranger told us there were over 40,000 artillery shells shot at the fort, 40,000. And as we were sitting there, a man came up with a camera and we were talking. He said, I don't want to interrupt you, but I want to shoot over your head. And I just looked at him and said, that's happened before here. So whatever shots have been fired over your head, whatever things have exploded around you in your lifetime, I pray right now for that persistence to say we have a cause. We have a reason to be on our watch. I thank you that those men did not get rattled by 40,000 artillery shots into that fort that directly hit it. Father, I thank you that this is a living testimony to where we are right now. There's going to be a lot of shots fired over our head. And Father, we thank you that we will make our stand and take our watch in the 13 colonies in Jesus' name. Someone else.
Can you hear me?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. I got the word shuffle no more. Shuffle no more. And then he said, look up the word shuffle. So I did. And then the scripture I got was 2 Kings 25:30, and I'm going to put it together. Here for shuffle, it says to mix in a mass confusion way, like you don't lift your feet up all the way, an evasion of the issue, dragging and sliding. So the Lord's saying, no more of that. That's not happening. You're going to pick your feet up and you're going to move. No shuffling. Okay. And then I'm like, well, what? I need a scripture. Well, in 2 Kings, Jehoiakim, he was held prisoner for 37 years, but then he got favor with the king. So his prison garb was taken off, and then he ate for the rest of his life in the company of the king. So I declare and decree victory. We're going to keep our company with the king. We're going to eat our meals with the king. We're taking off our prison garb, mm-hmm. and we're going to walk sure and true and straight. No shuffle, no more. In Jesus' name,
amen. Someone else.
Cheryl, I've been dealing a lot with the throne of God. He's been really dealing with me with the throne. So I'm going to turn this into a decree, because I keep getting a lot into the family, and I believe it's for all of us. So the first thing is, I declare the gate is not open to hell in our sphere of influence. God assured me, and he assures us, all of us who belong in this sphere and this form of watching, that our worship will not go unnoticed. I declare that our worship brings his glory to shift and move its wheels in our direction, to move toward us and hover over us and shower us with favor. I keep seeing the cloud, the throne, the wheels as they turn toward us, lock eyes with us. He remembers us. What concerns us is of utmost importance to him. And we can rest in the fact that God's love never fails. God's love never fails.
Amen. Thank Amen. You.
Al Hawk, I'm looking at you. What do you got going on there besides shoveling snow?
Recovering from shoveling snow.
I said, that guy looks tired. I think he's been shoveling all day.
There's a holy expectation.
There is.
It's pregnant. Yeah. With expectation. Especially in the under 30s and in the teens, there's a fresh hunger to know who the Lord is. So we've been seeing in our regional worship services, we've been seeing little kids dance and teenagers prophesy, and the things that, you know, we want. I mean, not just dance, but dance for 2 hours uninterrupted, as though they were just dancing with the King of Kings. So Lord, we decree the next two generations
yes.
are coming into an intimate relationship with you. And whereas we were more concerned about our hope and our future, we decree they will be more concerned about passionately pursuing you with all their hearts so they may find you. We say Jeremiah 29:13 will be their tagline and their scripture, and they will know you intimately and do great exploits in your name as they carry you not only in the schools, but in the marketplaces and in the places where you have them to go. Lord, we decree a new outpouring of your spirit upon them and say, let there be a magnification of glory upon glory upon glory. As people were talking about the sound sign, the sine wave, Lord, we say, let there be such an increase in the frequency that the enemy cannot see the other side of the wave.
Yes.
Lord, we say, let the frequency be so high that it will blow the sound of the enemy out of our regions. On First Fruits for Adar, for the first time ever in New York State, we had 61 of the 62 counties worshiping together.
Wow.
We're hoping to have 62 next Wednesday when we start First Fruits for Nissan. But the sound, someone mentioned it earlier in the call, the sound of each of the original 13 colonies is being uncorked in the heavens. Yes. And so, Lord, we say, remove the stoppers, so every sound which was lawless and rebellious against you is now quenched in the blood of Yeshua's cross. And let the sound of righteousness, peace, and joy, and the power of your Holy Spirit prevail, pervade, and saturate each of the 13 columns.
Amen.
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 And I just want to come in the mighty name of Jesus as an apostolic leader from Glory of Zion, by which the 13 Colony Council has been formed, and begin to decree over each of you that you are coming into a whole new understanding and a whole new revelatory realm. And the Lord says that he is about to show you how to partner with the angelic. Many of you have cried out, how do we partner? How do we move with the angelic? And the Lord says, I'm about to open the portals of heaven to begin to show you, to begin to take your spirit man into a place higher than you have ever known. Your spirit man, not your body, not your soul, not your mind, but your spirit man, into a level higher than you have ever known, that you will begin to understand, you will begin to hear, you will begin to be given revelation, and you will begin to partner with the revelatory realm of the angelic that the Lord is loosing over this council. The Lord says, we bind, we come in the name of Jesus, and we bind that plan, that strategy from hell that would separate you, that would pull you apart, and that would cause this council to be divided. And I say the word is unity, but know who you dwell with. That is what the Lord is saying. And I prophesy over each one of you and over your families that the Lord is stationing an angelic host, and he is beginning to cause you to know that you will know that you know that you know that you have been given an increase in the understanding and the revelatory realm of heaven itself. And he says, heaven is coming into earth over each one of you. Do not fear. He says, do not fear, because my plan will be set in motion in the name of Jesus.
Amen. 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 Praise God. Well, listen, it's 8:01, and we're gonna end now. We thank you for joining us for this hour, everybody. And look for that email I'm going to send you with all of the words from the Citadel, the third session of the Citadel. And look it over and begin to decree some of those prophecies in a greater way over our territory. So, Lord, we just bless Marty and Bill and Deborah and Joel and Judy that went on these journeys. And, Lord, we thank you, Father, for this group tonight. Lord, we send them out now. We send them out anointed afresh for watching over this territory in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. So we'll connect with you again when we're going to have our next one. We'll talk to you soon.
Wake up tomorrow morning to newness in Jesus'
every
name.
Every morning.
Good night.
We bless you all.
Bless you.
Bye-bye.
Good night, everyone.
Blessings.
That was great.
Yeah. Blessings.
Yeah. Hallelujah.
Bye-bye.
Oh,
thank you, guys. Bye. Blessings, guys. Blessings.
Thank you, Lord.